Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Empowered Hour with Empowered Living Inc. It's your girl, Athena, and
Renata. Athena, you got the music this time.
I know. Hey, I'm responsible. I'm a responsible adult.
Yeah.
This is so awesome.
It's just, I got to dance this time.
Look at you dancing. I'm glad I can make you happy.
Because the last time I had to play the song later.
Oh, really? I'm sorry, I disappointed last time. I do apologize.
It's all right. Yeah, that's in rotation on the playlist, so it's okay.
Oh well, I'm glad it got into the rotation and sticks and stays.
Yes.
But how you doing?
Good. Tired. Good. It was a busy weekend and a busy Monday.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, it's but you know, I'm happy that we can say that we are busy, so praise the Lord for that.
Yes.
I can second that as well. That's all I'm gonna say. But I guess before we get too deep into the show, I will let Lady J tell the listeners how they can tune in and listen to us constantly. So take it away.
If you'd like to share with your family, friends, and followers on all the different ways that they can tune in to JQLM Radio, this is what you would share. You can tune in live by downloading the JQLM Radio app on your Apple or Android devices. You can also listen live via Alexa, the TuneIn app, the Simple Radio app, and a host of other platforms, of which you can find on our website, where you can also listen live at egoentertainmentnet.com/JQLM-radio. Or just visit egoentertainmentnet.com and click the button right there on the homepage. You can also connect with us via our website or social media at JQLM Radio. That's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Additionally, you can email us at jqlmradio@gmail.com. Find us under our parent company, Ego Entertainment Network, on social media at EGOENTNET. That's Ego Ent Net. You can also follow us on LinkedIn at Ego Entertainment Network. And last but not least, make sure you like, subscribe, and share our YouTube channel, Ego TV Network.
See, I'm so glad I don't have to remember that. And I was on my P's and Q's today. I got it to work. I'm so excited. I'm just so excited.
Good job. I'm proud of you.
Yay, me. Woohoo! I know I have to take my wins when I can get them, because sometimes I be so far and few. But, you know, that's another show for another day. So before I get off on a tangent, we have a special guest today, Renata.
We do. We have a wonderful special guest that when we ask her for something, she's always like, yes. So we appreciate people who are like, yes. And she's just an awesome person in general. So
yes, she is.
Juanita Jackson is who we have today. So hey, Juanita.
Hey, ladies. Thanks for the invite.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for accepting. Some people that be like,
I'm scared. Always out doing things and out in the community and networking and have so many opportunities. I am always always inspired by you all.
Oh, thank you.
That was sweet. Thank you. You know, it's always good to hear that we do something well, because a lot of times,
I'll speak
for myself. A lot of times I don't think I'm doing things well, or people haven't noticed that I'm doing things well. So it's always good to hear that. So thank you. Thank you for saying that.
Y'all have the pulse on what's going on in the city of Indianapolis, from how to get a house to just a minute ago sharing about opportunities to help your business. I mean, y'all are on it, sincerely.
Well, thank you. We appreciate
I'm gonna get
that.
A tear.
Keep doing what you're doing, ladies, because it is making a difference.
Thank you for that encouragement. That's awesome. I'm done. Wow. I'm done talking.
You guys can talk to me. Well, so for the listeners that don't know who you are and how amazing you are, can you tell the people who you are?
Absolutely. My name is Wanisa Jackson, and I'll just say a little bit about my name in that my mother came up with my name when she was a little girl, and she was playing with her dolls, and she said, my first girl will be Wanisa. And so here I come popping out first. And so I have the most unique name in my family because then my sister is Rhonda and my two brothers are Robert and Wesley. So I am the one with the most unique name. I come out of Louisville, Kentucky, born and raised there, and then moved to Indianapolis in 2005 after completing seminary, just not wanting to stay in Louisville, because I was born and raised there. And on a wing and a prayer, came and moved with one of my girlfriends that I had met in college, and I have been here ever since. And God has used me. I've been worked at Eastern Star Church for a number of years in ministry, which is what I wanted to do. My background is social work. So I was working in residential treatment facilities with young girls, and just felt a call to help, people grow. And then it just matured into ministry, which I think is another way of growth for people. And here in Indianapolis, married for 11 years, and excited to be on the show. I have a business, Christ-like Life Ministries, that I started not too long ago, about 2018. And really, it's just to help people to grow in their relationship with God, and then to use the gifts and skills that God has given them to impact the world. So.
Awesome.
Amen.
She's just so amazing. Oh.
I'm just glad to be in your orbit. Thanks for letting me in.
So I know today we're talking about purpose, but I do have a question that it might lead to your purpose. But I'm just curious, what would be something that people are surprised to learn about you? And well, I'll ask that first, and I'll ask my follow-up.
Something that people would be surprised. I don't know that they would be surprised, but it's probably not well known. But I ran a marathon not too long ago. Well, some years ago. Okay. Probably in 20 or so. Anyways, run a marathon in Chicago. Those who know what a marathon is, 26.2 miles. I ran, crawled, did all manner of things to complete that. But it was on my bucket list, and I will never do it again, but it has been done, okay? Never do it again.
You've done more than me. I haven't even walked a marathon, let alone ran in one. So you're doing way better.
So now, what made you decide that you want to do it?
Why did I want to do it? I think it was just a physical challenge. I'd seen it. I'd had some friends who ran, and it was just something I said, I wonder if I can do that. And I did it. Yeah. I had run actually when I was in seminary. I just to get my, keep physically fit, I ran a half marathon. And so in Louisville, they had this triple crown races or whatever. And so the first race was like a 5K, and then it built to a 10K. And then you did, the 13.1 miles. And then after doing that, I was like, I wonder if I can do a full marathon. And so, so I said, well, I'm going to try it. And I'll never do that again. I might do a half marathon, but that full marathon, it takes you through all manner of emotions. I was with a girlfriend of mine who's a real runner. I'm not like a real runner. you know, I was just doing it. But she's like, she ran track and she did it with me. If she weren't with me, honey, I know that when those little trucks came along to pick up people, I would have done it toward that 20th mile. It took everything within me to complete that.
I'm glad you did it. You did it for the both of us. Thank you. Thank you for taking that L, because that's not something that I am striving to even try. No, my surrogate brother, he does it like every year. He does a marathon. He does a half. He'll do the, I think he did the St. Patrick's Day run this past weekend.
Okay. Like,
he does all of those things. And he just started probably 5 years ago getting into running and just been running ever since. And I'm like, more power to you. I will support you all day long and cheer you on from the sidelines. I will pick a spot and be there with a sign that says, you got this. Yeah, I will do that. That's me. That's the type of that's the relationship I have with running and or jogging. So I commend you. That is awesome.
Thank you. I'm pretty proud of it because it really took a lot. You had to try to practice, you know, and get these miles in, and I did my best, but yeah, never do it again. I think the next thing on my list would be, I'm still toying with it, but I think I want to do one of those bodybuilding fitness competitions. I think I had a girlfriend do it. And so I've seen someone walk through it. It's kind of intense, but I think later I would be in the 50, 60 kind of that range, you know, not with the young folks, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see how I feel as the years progress.
That is,
yet, I would have never missed that.
I will come support you. I got a sign that says go where I need to go. I got it. I'll make it. I'll put some glitter on it and everything so you can see
everything. I got you.
I will support.
Oh, we can
you.
Get matching shirts at the end, and we can get matching shirts.
I know her. She got this. I'm gonna claim it. It says gold medal champion over here. Yep, I got it. Yep. I got my cricket.
Yes.
I will get my cricket out just for you. I will.
Yep. All day. That's impressive, Vanessa. So what I'm hearing is you really value taking care of your body.
I do. Now this pause and all kinds of things, COVID and all manner of things, I have gained more weight than I want to have, but I'm starting to shed it. But yes, I try to take care of my body and eat the right things, because we only get one, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
We so only true. Get one. So we need to feed it and we need to move it. At least move it, you know, give it some water, rest it. I really am trying to do better to feed my body well. Mm-hmm.
So would you say that is where right now the stage of life you're in is that majority of your purpose? I mean, I know there's a lot of things that go into that, but taking care of your body, is that tying it all together with your purpose?
In some ways, I see my body is the vehicle to accomplish various purposes, you know? And so if my body isn't well, I can't accomplish those purposes well. So, or assignments, that's kind of what I call it. God has given me assignments and I need my body to be well so that I can do those assignments. And so I, you know, you have to prioritize it and make choices so that you can do it. You know, there's some, God gives us assignments. And then there was this example that this preacher said, and it stuck with me. And you can't walk up the stairs to go to the building to work with the kids, or you can't get up and down to do what he's called you to do. You see what I'm saying? Like, let's do our, and that's not to say things don't happen in your life that can prevent you from doing things, but are you doing things that are tearing your body down so that you're not able to do? You know what I'm saying? Like in your finances, God may be calling you to do certain things, but because you have decided to make poor choices with your finance, you're not able to accomplish that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I see those as resources and tools that can be used to make the impacts God wants us to make.
Definitely. I feel a little convicted, not gonna lie. Just a little bit in my feelings over here, but it's okay.
This is a casual conversation.
It's in love.
I know.
We all have periods of time in our life where we fall short of a goal short of, you know, our God-given purpose and talent. So, and sometimes some of us have it 2 or 3 times a week and or day. So it's all about how you rebound from it. So I don't feel convicted, Renata, because look, you know, my financial journey.
It's not necessarily in a bad way. I'm very much in a season. God is just doing a lot of revealing and a lot of, I need you to do this. And this is what that entails. So I feel like there's a lot of things that I keep hearing from various people. And this is the problem, plus the blessing of having surrounding yourself by great people. Mm-hmm. They force you to be great.
Yes.
So it's a good conviction.
Yes, I hear what you're saying. But yeah, that's why I want to take care of this body.
Understandable. Yeah. So then for you, kind of, how did you get started on figuring out what your purpose was? Like what were the things that you were like, oh, that aligns with my purpose?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think for a long time, I felt that purpose was this one thing. And in some ways it is. I think it's been progressive revelation for me in my understanding what purpose is. I think that God has created mankind to reflect who he is in the world. So with our character being light in the world, and that he's given us assignments. My framework for how I see the world, because I'm a Christian, says that, hey, this life is temporary. And so therefore, I'm here to reflect who God is through my character, through my actions, my attitude, and also encourage others to develop a relationship with God, because for those who are Christian, they believe that Jesus Christ is coming back. And so how can my life be used to do that? My understanding has grown from this one sense of, you know, how the world says, you know, there's like this one professional thing that you're put on this earth to do, and that we focus on, you know, it's got to be a business, or it's got to be a nonprofit, and that is the singular purpose that you're put in the world to do. As I have just wrestled with that concept, I believe that as a believer, yes, I have one purpose, and that is to know God and make him known. But he gives me so many assignments for which to do that. And I find those assignments in the relationships that I have. I find that those assignments in the skills and abilities and passions that I have, which show up in, should I start a business, or would show up in, should I start a nonprofit, or what sector in the professional world should I seek after? Those are assignments as well. But I see that it fluctuates, that in one season it is, you know, how can I be the best daughter? That might be one assignment in a season. How can I be the best daughter for my mom who is wrestling with multiple sclerosis? Or how can I be the best friend to a friend who is walking through a difficult situation? And then how can I show up on my job and do it well so that people can see me and desire to know, you know, how am I, why am I so different from everybody else in how I handle situations? So it's just so complex and exciting and adventurous to me, because it's not just this one thing that I'm just chasing after, but it's something that's constantly changing and fluid. But the ultimate mission for me as a believer is that I would know God and then make him known to the world. So that's kind of the context that I look at it now. And I find so much grounding in that, in seeing life that way. And I find so much peace in that, as well as adventure in that way of seeing life. And that, so yeah, I hope that answers your question.
It did. It did. Okay. Oh, I feel like I have so many other questions, but I know we need to take a commercial break. So
it'll be a quick break. It'll be a quick one.
It'll be a quick break. So how about we take a quick commercial break, and then we will come back and glean some more wisdom from Juanissa Jackson.
All right.
Ladies and gents, mark your calendars for the party of the year. It's the second annual National Re-Up Experience, hosted by the one and only comedian D.L. Marshall in the heart of Atlanta, Georgia, on April 5th and 6th. Get ready for the Re-Up Brunch and More with an all-white theme that's going to be the talk of the town. Then let loose at the all-white party. Trust us, you don't want to miss this. But wait, there's more. Roll into Stitches at the Re-Up Comedy Show, headlined by the hilarious Robert Sweaty Hands Day, featuring the Gentleman of Comedy and the one and only Ms. Robinson. Strut down the black carpet at the award show, catch live performances, and experience a night you won't forget. The theme this year is Can't Stop, Won't Stop, because at the Re-Up Experience, we re-up to stay up. Hurry, don't miss out on the fun. Get your tickets now at reupexperience.com. That's reupexperience.com. It's going to be lit. We re-up to stay up, baby. Get your tickets before they're gone.
Music, Into the Night by Price Canal on pixabay.com. Sponsored by Ego Entertainment Network and Iconic Speakers Network.
Welcome to the Gallery Event Center. My name is Richard, and we're located on the north side of Indianapolis in the Castleton area. We can be reached at 317-534-6399, or you can visit us at our website at www.thegalleryeventcenter.com. Also on Instagram at The Gallery Event Center. We specialize in birthdays, baby showers, weddings, and even family get-togethers. So come see us and book your event today.
We are back. So because I tend to ask a lot of questions, Athena, I'll let you ask some questions before I run down my list.
go ahead, because like I'm intrigued where you, because you said you had a bunch of questions, and I'm like, well, shoot, which
I do have some questions, but I feel like you go in multiple directions. So that's why I said I'll let you go. I want to share.
Okay. Well, let's see. Well, I guess the next question I could ask, Juanissa, in finding your purpose, do you find that more people are gravitating towards you, or do you find that people are stepping away from you? And what I mean by that is because, you know, how we read in the Bible about when you start to change and start to do things differently, walk differently, work differently, people start to either act funny and so they shed themselves, or you, more people come to you who are like-minded, who have the same views. So, How has that experience been for you? If you feel like sharing that, but that's just something that came to my mind, just because I know, like, when I start changing certain things about me, I notice certain people start to leave, which is a good thing because that means that people are showing me who they are. And then when I start to do certain things, I have certain people who come and say, okay, get yourself back in order. You're starting to stray a little bit. So I was wondering how that experience has been for you.
I think it's around the same what you described, in that as you become more grounded in what you want to do in life, those who may not be as intentional, you just don't have as much time for them because you're pursuing what it is that you feel that God has placed on your heart. And so there is a natural fall away. Which I don't think it's something to feel bad about. I'll say, as I have grown more to do workshops and conferences, and some people just don't, they're not interested in doing that. I want to write, and I want to write more, and I'm doing these. And so my conversation now includes more of those type of activities. And they're not, we don't mesh because that's not what God has called them to do. And so, yeah, there is a breaking away. But then there's also an introduction to people who do enjoy those things. There's this group that I'm now a part of called Entrusted Women, who are Christian communicators of color. And it's just a wonderful opportunity for me to connect with women who feel called to communicate about, you know, Christ and the different tools that we use. And it's become a great community. But because I'm spending time there, I'm not having as much time to do other things that I don't, you know, don't fall in line with what I feel called to do. And so, yeah, some relationships fall by the wayside. But I think it's natural. It's not, you know, I think at first I started feeling some kind of way, but when you think about it, if you don't share the same interests, you just don't share the same interests, and it's nothing to be mad about or hurt about. You only get 24 hours in the day. How are you going to spend them? And I don't want to be less of who I am just to keep friends from the past, nor do I want other people. There's people who have, for example, when I was in college, joined a sorority, and I chose not to do that. It would be really childish of me to start feeling some kind of way because they're spending more time with the group that they chose to be a part of, right? It's just, we all grow in different ways.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Amen.
Would you say that, what would you say for someone that's trying to figure out, how do I even find my purpose, and who is uncomfortable with the idea of everybody can't say, come along with me as I'm on that journey?
I think in life, there's going to be seasons, and it's almost mm-hmm. like you have to rest in that fact. It's just a reality. And so really understanding there's no way that you can begin to pursue your purpose and everything remain the same, that you reframe how you're looking at it to say, you know, I'm growing. And in that growth, there are some people who are going to go this way and another to, you know, go another way, and really not seem like it's abnormal, but that's just a part of life. And it's okay to grieve the relationships that fall by the wayside, to say, I wish that we had the same goals, or I wish that we had that, but we don't, and grieve that, and then decide to move on from it. But it is hard. I'm not saying that it's not. I mean, but you do have to realize that it's not an abnormal experience. There's not something wrong with you because, you know, certain friends weren't able to share the same goals or the same passions as you.
Hmm. That's a tough season sometimes to be in, though, just to...
It really is.
To say, you can't come with me anymore. You can't come with me the way that you've been with me.
Yeah.
But I know some people really struggle with that.
Yeah.
And I think part of my life has been geared towards that, because I didn't, what's a nice way to say this? My way I grew up, especially with the people in the neighborhood I grew up with, I learned very early how certain people are not meant to go on that journey with you. And I learned very early how certain people will try to sabotage your journey if you keep them around too long. And just by learning that lesson early for me, it's made it a lot easier in my adult life to be like, okay, well, you're not meant to be here, so let you keep moving. Because I kid you not, like, all of my years growing up on the same street, the same people,
mm-hmm.
find out real quickly who and what are not for you, and how many people are truly against you, or they want to see you fail. So that has always been easy for me to make that transition. Yeah, it hurts sometimes to let some people go, but at the same time, it's like, I can't keep holding on to you because it's hurting me. Mm-hmm. And that I love, it's one of those memes I've seen recently where well, I've seen it a lot here recently, where the guy is holding on to the, trying to pull the woman up over the cliff, but mm-hmm. she can't see that, you know, he's got a rock on him, and he can't mm-hmm. see that she's got the snake biting her. And, you know, it's like they both are having this dialogue, like, well, why can't you try harder to pull me up? Well, why can't you pull me up? Mm-hmm. Aren't you strong enough to pull me up? And so that thing always sticks with me, because it's like, there's so many things and people who come into your life, and like, if you're not willing to have a conversation with what's going on with you as to why things are happening the way they are, then maybe we're not meant to carry this journey on. Because mm-hmm. I feel like anybody I'm talking to and trying to speak about the positive things in my life, if you're not willing to even listen to that, or at least have a conversation with me so I can tell you I'm being hurt in the process of you trying to yeah. pull me up, so let's figure out how we can make this work, or vice versa, then we don't need to go on this journey together, because mm-hmm. we're going to keep hurting each other along the way, and we're not going to get anywhere. So, but that's my two cents, and I'm done. Now we're not at your turn for questions.
Now, I did want to add to that. I was watching. Uh-oh.
No, go ahead.
I was watching
this
clip on, I think it was Instagram, and you all may have seen it, but it was Mike Epps. And he was sharing about his career and how a great portion of it, he was doing cocaine. In fact, even on the Friday set, like Ice Cube was telling him, man, get it together, because he was crying and he was this. And he said one of the reasons why he ran to cocaine is because he was having survivor's remorse, because, you know, all the guys he grew up with, you know, he was moving away from them, but yet he wanted to hang with them, but yet they were jealous of him. And, you know, whenever he would come around and he wasn't on crack or something like that, or not miserable, then they're like, you're trying to be better than us and this, that, and the other. But if he's crying, smoking a line of crack and saying, you know, my life is horrible, then they're like, man, you know, you my dog, I love you. And he had to make a decision, like, I can't keep doing this. For you to like me, I have to be miserable. I can't be myself. And that's not what, I mean, that's where the break happens. You can't stop being who God created you to be, to please people. And that's why the only person that we need to be concerned about, you know, ultimately, is God's opinion about what we're doing, because people are going to have a variety of opinions. And if we're going, you know, making sure that we're trying to please this one, or making sure we're trying to please that one, you're going to go crazy because everybody has a different mm-hmm. opinion about who you ought to be. And some people are not in line with who God made you to be. And if you don't do what God calls you to be, you're not going to have peace. And you're not going to have joy, because he's put it in you. And so if you're not doing it, you're going to have a bad effect. So you just have to normalize the fact that at times you're going to have to leave people behind, just like people are going to leave you behind because of the call that they have on their lives. It's just natural.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like some of that is you got to have some boundaries.
Absolutely.
And enforce them and provide consequences when needed.
Mm-hmm.
Those boundaries always come up, I tell you.
Don't they come up?
But they need to. They need to. Because if you think about it, how many people didn't have boundaries way back when, before they actually figured out to put a name to it? I mean, we've always known we've needed to have boundaries. But now that more people are putting names to it and actually putting something with it and saying, this is why you need boundaries, and people are becoming more woke, in quotation marks, that they need boundaries, it's something that we all know we need it, but now we have the support from the world in doing it. Even though we've always known we've needed it in private, I think now we have more of the support of the world. Everybody knows what boundaries are now. So when you say, I have a boundary set for this, that, and the other, people don't look at you crazy now, but because it's more widely accepted. So I'm happy that it's boundaries is being brought up more and more, because it needs to be normalized, just like therapy needs to be normalized. But that's a whole nother soapbox for a whole nother day. But I love the word boundaries, because I got them. Well, yeah. I'm getting more of them. Let me just say that.
It's such a growth process. And I love what you said, Athena. There's language now for it. I think people, the way in this world that things have been accomplished and people have invented things and, you know, we've grown, people clearly have had boundaries because they wouldn't have been able to accomplish what they've been able to accomplish. Mm-hmm. But the language, I think, it normalizes and it brings the conversation to the forefront so that even more people who, especially in this social media age where everybody's trying to be everybody's friend and, you know, it's just, I think, I feel sometimes like there's not a balance in the need for community and there's not a balance in separation of self, in a sense. I don't know if that makes sense. It seemed like our forefathers, like my grandfather's age, were a lot stronger in setting boundaries. It seems like us as new people, as we are melding together, it's a little bit harder. I don't know. That might be wrong, but that's how I feel in terms of how I see how my grandparents interacted with other people. And how even when you look at the times when they talk about, you know, those enslaved time among one another, I don't know. That's something to think about. Have we progressively become more without boundaries throughout the year? That's interesting to me, even as we're talking. I don't know.
I think it's shifted for its purpose. And when I say that, I mean, like, I talk a lot with people about being in survival mode. I think a lot of us have been in survival mode for generations. And I think a lot of times it was a matter of, I have to have these boundaries because it's literally a matter of life or death. Mm. And I think now it's still there are some situations that it is life or death still. But I think now people can kind of take a breath. Because I feel like the generation underneath us, they normalize therapy way more. I feel like we're in a very interesting spot because we still have a lot of the traditional thoughts and things in nature of our grandparents, parents, and so on and so forth. But we're also young enough to kind of understand what the younger generation is saying, whether we agree with it or not for either generation. But I think that maybe the difference is I have more freedom to do things. I have more language for things. Society looks a lot different. More things are acceptable. So like, you know, a lot of us grew up with the what happens in this house stays in this house mentality, where now it's like, well, no, I'm going to talk about what happened in this house because that's all we messed up. I think that might be what shifted a little bit. To me, that might be what shifted a little bit.
I can see that too.
I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, because in general speaking, we are learning more about generational consequences and how things that everybody did before us starts to affect our now and our future. And I think more people are starting to take heed to that and learning that the way that people were grown or brought up isn't always 100% how we can do it today. And also we can take little bits and pieces from there, but if we don't start to change things, we'll keep repeating them. So I think with that, more people are starting to learn that history will keep repeating itself unless we get off that wagon and start to do something different. And the more people who start to learn that you have to evolve and have to find new ways of doing things, the better things will start to be. Because we can't, I mean, you know, think about our grandparents and great grandparents, some of the things they used to do. You know, they used to have to walk everywhere. They used to have to get up early and tend to the sheep and the cows and everything else. If they didn't work, they didn't eat, which is still the same mentality we have now, except now we have a lot of conveniences. But if we don't start to take care of the things that we have, we're going to end up going back to that simpler time because things aren't going to work all the time. As we've seen plenty of times, these cyber attacks that are happening, it shuts things down and certain generations are like, okay, well, I can still function. You know, without this, that, and the other. But if we don't teach the new generation how to function without certain things, they're going to be, you know, messed up. So in the grand scheme of things, I feel all of what you guys are saying. Long story.
And as you were talking, Athena, and I guess this direction is going a little bit in a different direction in a way, but back then there was more boundaries in just how you did life.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's a complete open, also could affect, you know, not having as many boundaries and having to build those boundaries up, because, you know, it's so fluid nowadays. There are no, this is absolute truth. It's kind of how do you feel type world and how we think about life. So in some ways, there were stronger guidelines for living, which could create better boundaries and how this is how we're going to do it. This is how we do it. Tradition, whatever you want to call it. Whereas now it's just however you feel, you do it in terms of how you live. But because of the conversations about language around boundaries in relationships, there might be a better understanding towards that, if that may, I don't know. It's interesting. I've never thought about this, so I'm just talking it out on radio.
What better way to do it? We love that we can have this open dialogue on this platform. I love it.
That was probably very confusing what I just did.
No, it wasn't confusing. Okay. I got it. You got it, Renata?
I got it. It makes sense to me.
It definitely makes sense to me. So we got to take another commercial break real quick. So, but I definitely want to keep this dialogue going with you, Juanisa. So stick and stay, everybody. We'll be right back with more with Juanisa Jackson.
Hey there, trendsetters and go-getters. Ever dreamt of gracing the cover of the hottest bi-monthly print and digital interactive magazine? Well, Ego Magazine is your ticket to the spotlight. From beauty and fashion to entertainment, relationships, business, and beyond, Ego covers it all. And guess what? We're looking for the next big stars to feature. Want to shine on the cover, share your celebrity story, or drop some business wisdom? Apply now at egoentertainmentnet.com to be featured. Thousands across the nation could be reading about you. Subscribe for free now at egoentertainmentnet.com. Ego Magazine, where dreams become headlines. We can't wait to put you in the spotlight. Music, Minutes by Jacob Sack on Pixabay.com. Are you in need of a fresh perspective on relationships, wholeness, love, and transformation? Or are feeling consumed with hurts from the past and finding it difficult to overcome traumatic events? Well, contact licensed marriage and family therapist, Sharon Mason of Love That Relationship. She can get you back on the road to building a healthy and loving relationship with yourself and others. Love That Relationship.
All right, so we are back. We are back from commercial. Renata, I feel like you, I don't feel like you got to ask your next question, so I'm going to be quiet and let you ask the next question. I feel like you did.
I did. Okay, I did. I can always ask more questions, but no, I did ask my question.
I know you said you had a list of them, so I don't want to cut you off now.
It's okay, because I feel like I like the direction that this conversation is going, because like we've kind of shifted to talking about boundaries and how that's impacting us and all those things. So I think those are always great conversations to have. And even with that, I guess kind of, Juanisa, what are your thoughts on, since we've talked about the past and how they've kind of lived life, how do you think boundaries and purpose and passion was kind of set up back then with like our grandparents and stuff.
You said something that stuck with me about survival. And for many, especially when I think about my grandfather's time and him desiring to care for his family in the best way that he knew how. He was a farmer, and they started off sharecropping, which we know is an advanced advanced stage of slavery. That's kind of what we went into as a people after being freed, went into sharecropping, but you don't make a lot of money. And so he did the brave thing of purchasing land himself and farming land that ended up to be several hundred acres of land. And the necessity to, you know, he was kind of talked about not only among the white people, but also the Black people who were jealous of his advancement. And, you know, he would show up to church and they would say different things about him because they were basically jealous. But he grinded, you know, it took a lot of work to take care of that land. And, you know, he wasn't able to come at church sometimes because he had to till, you know, till the land, take care of the cows. I mean, it was an operating farm. And so the boundaries that he had to set up just in conversations of not allowing people's opinions to keep him from doing what he felt he was called to do, to care for his family, to set boundaries with people who felt like they were owed something from him and you didn't work on this land. Like, I was privy to those type of, you know, just sharing that type of information with me. So it's difficult for me to say that they didn't have boundaries, but it was for survival, you know. But in some ways, I see that it's survival for us now, because if you're not living in your purpose, you're dying. And so many people are depressed, and so many people have a large amount of anxiety because they are not living fully who God has created them to be. You know, I made a decision to change churches, and I made that not lightly. But it called, you know, you have to set a boundary. Okay. I know that there are people who aren't going to be happy about that, but I have to do this for me so that I can survive. Right. So it's almost a, you know, now that I'm talking through it, it's like it is survival for you to set up boundaries and for you to do what you are called to do. And that is not to say that people's opinion does not matter. It does matter, because I do care about what my friends say, and I do care what my parents would say, and I do care about what people who I love say. Yet, when it comes up against what I feel God has called me to, I have to do what God calls me to. He trumps everybody else.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an amazing insight, for real. Especially... I definitely resonates with me about changing church homes, because I've done that before too, just because I felt like where I was at, I needed to shift. So I definitely that completely.
I love what you said about if we're not living in our purpose, we are dying on some levels.
I don't
think we think about how important purpose is, but I also think kind of the perspective that you gave, that it doesn't necessarily have to be one thing. I think a lot of us have subscribed to, I just have this one thing that I'm destined to be. So like, I've heard a lot of people say, well, my only purpose in life was to be a parent. Well, there's more to you than just being a parent.
Right. You know, and I think that is the adventure, because if your only purpose in life is to be a parent, and then your child graduates from high school and begins their own life, then you're stuck. Well, what is now my purpose? When the reality is, God created you with so many gifts and skills and so many people to impact. And when you open your eyes to all of the many opportunities around you to make him known, of course, I'm talking to those who are believers, but all the many ways that you can do to impact people, man, it's an adventure. I was watching this show. I think it was a clip. Anyways, this guy had lost his wife and she had passed away. And so he was lonely and he said, well, what can I do to impact the world around me? I don't know if he was a believer or not, but basically he remembered all these honeydews. He missed doing these honeydews that he would have to do for her. So he just put it out on Facebook that he'd do some honeydews. And, you know, he built community all around him. And I can't even remember what state or city this was in, but I was impacted by the story in that he had built this whole community. He was no longer lonely anymore because he was just using his ability to fix things to help people in his community. And so when we close ourselves to one thing or one person or one this or one that, we miss out on how big the world is, and we miss out on how much impact God would have us have when we just make it one thing. We just make it a job. We just make it this, but then we don't spend time focusing on your family and how can I impact my child to be the best that they are to be? Or for me, how can I impact my godson or impact my nieces and nephews? Or, you know what I'm saying? It's just such, mm-hmm. so many opportunities out here that anybody who says they're bored, I just feel sorry for them, because there's no way in the world, you know, when you think about your finances even, and this is something that I'm looking even more with, how, you know, we can sometimes not be intentional with that. And you need to be investing in stocks and creating passive income, not just so you can have more money, but so you can fund some of these mission organizations, so that you can contribute to the issues that, you know, that God would have you to contribute to. You know what I'm saying? There's so much. So then mm-hmm. that opens up the doors to learn about these type of things. And not just spend it on and I'm not saying that you should not buy a bag that you want, but when that is all of life is for you to have things, then that's not what God created you for. Yes, go get the Coach bag. Yes, go get that. But when it becomes that you got 12 coaches and you're not using them, and you could have used that money to advance or help somebody else, you know, it's just something that you have to discern. Mm-hmm. But it becomes an adventure. Lord, how will you want me to use my money? Would you want me to use my skills and gifts and talents? Lord, how would you want me to use me in these relationships that I have, either on my job or on my church community, my neighbors? You know, how do you want me to demonstrate who you are to them?
I'm gonna need you to stay out of my closet. I don't have 12, but I do have a couple. I need to stay out of my closet when he said.
I'm sorry, Theta.
I need to stay out of my closet. Thank you so much. Because I got two in there now. I'm looking at like, you ain't carried these in how long?
And you know what, Theta? That can be a gift in a sense that, hey, if I'm not carrying it, who would feel loved if they received, you know, because a coach is a luxury bag and it can make you feel special. Is there someone you can give it to that would just feel like, oh my God, I feel so loved and so seen just because she gave me this bag? You know what I'm saying? So there's different ways mm-hmm. that you guy can still use that purchase. But I just want us to be more intentional and thoughtful about how we live our lives, so that we don't look back and we get to the pearly gates and God says, now, what did you do? Right? Yeah. Jesus said before he left, he said, I have glorified you, meaning God, by accomplishing the work that you gave me to do. I have glorified you. by accomplishing the work on earth that you gave me to do. And so my goal and my heart is that everybody that I come across could say that same thing when they reach, you know, we were making this up, but reach the pearly gates, that when God would sit to judge them, they say, I did all that I could do with what you gave me to do the works that you called me to do. And so you can't do that without being intentional and thoughtful about the things that you spend your time on, which calls you to need to reflect and spend time in meditation and to write things out, which is, you know, before my birthday, I'm going to do a workshop where I just want to set people aside to reflect and kind of walk through the four areas that I've mentioned before. Relationships. I look at relationship with God, relationships with self, relationship with others. And then I look at skills and abilities. I look at finances and I look at health and wellness. How are we being intentional in these areas so that we can say what Jesus said? I have glorified you on this earth by doing or accomplishing the things that you've called me to do or given me to do. And so that is what I feel in this season. I just want people to reflect and spend some time on so they can feel like they've accomplished. You can feel like I did spend time doing what God called me to do.
So you're going to come back on our show to do a part two is what you're telling me.
Whatever you need me to do. I just am very convicted in this season. That's part of my assignment to encourage people to be intentional, to be strategic, to be thoughtful about their life, especially believers, because I just know more could be done to advance God's kingdom in the hearts and minds of people if his people would be about his business. Not be like, there's a parable that talks about the talents, and he gave 1 5 and 1 2 and 1 1. I probably have those numbers wrong. But and when he came back, the one who had 5 had doubled it. The one who had 3, and I may have these numbers all the way wrong, but anyways, y'all know the parable of the talents. And so I think that there are so many who would have hidden their talent and not engaged the talent. And for this reason, you know, the guy was scared to use his talent, but I think a lot of us are so distracted by the things of this world. That's why we don't engage our talent. We have so many things to keep us occupied that really take us nowhere and mean nothing. And I say that because, you know, I can spend 2 hours on social media just scrolling because I don't want to do nothing. Right. So we really need to be intentional, strategic, so that we can feel good about and feel energized by the life that God gives us.
Wow.
Amen. tell the people again how they can reach you and how they can get connected to you, please, because if you haven't learned during this show, every listener, that you need to get connected with Miss Juanisa, you're gonna learn today. So how can people get in touch with you, because they need to?
Yes, my name is Juanisa Jackson, and I have a ministry called Christ Like Life Ministries. You can go to my website. It's CLLministries.com. You can become a part of my mailing list. Send emails out just to let you know of the different events that I'm involved in, and especially the workshop that will be coming in June. And then also you can go to my Facebook page, Christ Like Life Ministries. And you can like that page, or you can just friend me and I'll accept you. Juanisa Jackson.
Yes, please friend her. I know we ran out of time, but thank you for being a guest. We're going to do part two because I feel like there's so much more to dive into. Please go to www.empoweredlivinginc.net to keep up to date with all events and services that we offer. Am I forgetting anything, Renata?
No. I'm sure there is something, but I can't think of it at the moment.
All right. Well, stay tuned for the next show that's coming up. Thank you, Juanisa, for being on. And everybody have a blessed week. Thank you.
Thanks.